How many people know you were born for this? I like that. All right. Good morning. I'm glad that you are here. If you're a guest, welcome this morning. It's a good day to be here because it's Sunday. Sunday's always a good day. And let's take this opportunity. We'll dismiss our kids to Revolution Kids Church. We have been looking at one particular section of Scripture from the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 to 36. Let's go ahead and put that up, and we'll read it together and familiarize ourselves with this. Have you been reading this on your own a little bit? It's like, hey, we were born for this. Yay! Have you been reading the Scripture? All right, well, we've got one more week after this week. I want to encourage you, read this for yourself. Think about your own storms, whether they're past or present, or how you can use this in your future. But I want the Scripture, I think God wants the Scripture to get in us, to become part of us. That's the whole idea. Maybe this is the better way to do it, right? Anyway, let's read together with some chutzpah. Here we go. Immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." And when they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent around to all that region and brought to him all who were sick and implored him that they might only touch the fringe of his garment. And as many as touched it were made well. Awesome. I want to encourage you to use your Revolution app this morning and follow along. We've got some teaching notes and some resources in there. If you need our app, you can find it at revolutionky.org, our website. As we've been talking about, 2017 was the year of my storm. Whether we want to talk about thinking of heart attacks, chest pains, anxiety, medicines, sleep loss, doctor visits, tests, wondering why this was happening, wondering when it would be over. It was a storm. I did not like 2017 for me. I was never happier when 2018 hit. I stayed up and watched the ball drop, and that is not usually a Brian Ebel kind of moment. And what we've been learning is that storms are these seasons in our lives where we feel like our control is gone. Anybody ever experienced that? Awesome. That does not make you weak to admit it. It makes you human because we all have these seasons in our lives, whether they're past, whether it's happening in your life now, or it's going to happen at some point in the future. There will be a moment in your life, I guarantee you, where you will not feel in control, and that can be scary. And scary is okay. It's okay to be scared. There were some tough days in that storm. We've kind of made our way through my journey into July, and as though I knew that God was present in the midst of my storm, but boy, I sure wanted some answers. And as tough as it was, there were some good days too. There were some good days in that storm. Like in the month of June, I got to play golf with a church member on my birthday. That was a good day. I remember Father's Day weekend was a great weekend. My kids had a golf tournament, went and watched them and caddied for them. That was a great time. I played in the Kentucky State Amateur that month. So there were some moments that were really great in the middle of the storm. I don't know about in your storms. You have some great moments too, and you feel like, oh man, finally I get a moment of escape. Everything is great. You know, I look back on it now as though there were great days And as much as I love to play golf, sometimes golf became a bit of an escape for me. And escaping from the storm isn't good either, brothers and sisters, because you can only escape for so long. You know, boundaries are good, rest and relaxation is good, breaks are good, but escape is different. See, escape keeps us from community. You can tend to get yourself isolated very, very fast, and then you realize how big those waves and how hard that wind is blowing and how wet that rain really is. So you can escape storms for just a little bit, and then they come back. And that's why when you take the luxury vacation that is supposed to be the one of your dreams and you come back to work on Monday morning, the storm's still there. That's why when you can escape for a little bit into your internet browser and go to all kinds of places in the world, like social media, which there's nothing that's real about social media, or internet porn, there's nothing real about that either. You come back and the storm's still there. Or why you can drink till you get to the bottom of the bottle and try to escape. And then when you wake up the next morning, you'll find that the storm is still there. Escape doesn't work, brothers and sisters. You're just prolonging the inevitable. Remember what the scripture says. It says, during the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. They've watched the storm all night. It's 3 to 6 a.m. in the morning, and we've learned that the longer you watch the storm, the worse the waves and the wind will look because darkness distorts the truth. What do we need? We need clarity. First, we needed community. Don't check out of community. Second thing we need, we've learned in the storm, is clarity. And when that moment of clarity comes in your storm, you're going to realize something powerful, that God isn't outside of the storm. He's in the middle of it. And so as much as we might want to escape, human tendency when you get in a storm is, how can I escape this thing as quickly as possible? We have two basic responses, brothers and sisters, to any problem: fight or flight. You're either going to take it to it or you're going to run like hell. And more often than not, people will take the latter and they'll try to escape in so many different ways. And what you're going to find out is that working your way through that storm, allowing God to lead you through that storm, God doesn't want escape. He's somewhere right in the middle of it. He wants something else. He wants to know, are you going to get out of the boat? You're going to get out of the boat and follow him into the middle of the storm. God leads us in storms, yes? Yes. There's something else you should know about storms, brothers and sisters. The sea in the ancient world was a place of chaos and evil. I think it's important you know that. You know, a lot of times we look at sort of the Dirk Bentley way of somewhere on a beach is all a happy place. In the ancient world, it is not a happy place at all. You might even be a fisherman, but you know in the ancient world, even if you're a fisherman, the sea is a place of chaos, the sea is a place of evil. And so if you're a fisherman, you're going to go out and fight the sea every single day. A lot of people thought that the sea was the place where all sorts of evil spirits like to live. And in fact, if you were a Jewish person living in the days of Jesus and your body is lost at sea, it created a huge problem for your family. And the huge problem was this: they didn't know whether or not you would have a body when the resurrection came. So like, how does that work? We'll leave that one for another day. So the sea is a place of evil. The disciples are on the sea. They're fighting the storm until 3 to 6 a.m. in the morning. Jesus comes walking on the sea and they think they've seen a ghost. The word here is the same word in which we get our English word phantasm from, rather than the word for spirit. Throughout the Bible, more often than not, when it's referring to God, it'll be a different word for the word spirit. So they don't think, you know, Jesus is just some ghost. They think literally a ghost in this evil place of chaos is there to finish them off in this moment. And then Jesus speaks. Notice what happens. It says, and in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea, but when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, it's a ghost, it's a phantasm. And they cried out in fear, but immediately Jesus spoke and said, take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. And Peter answered him, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. And he said, come. Notice those words, command me. I love this. Lord, if it's you, because I hear your voice, I remember that voice. If it's you, in the midst of blowing wind and rain and huge waves and everything else, God, if it's really you, command me. Be in charge. Take charge. Have control. I'm in your hands. Didn't we sing that this morning? Peter believes Jesus is God. Peter believes Jesus is the God who created the seas and separated the land and the sea. Peter believes that Jesus is the one who has power over the sea. Peter's showing great faith. Noah's the guy who jumped in the boat. Peter wants to be the guy who jumped out of the boat. Community and clarity lead Peter toward an act of faith in which he says, command me. And that's exactly what Jesus says. He says, come. One simple word. That's what I love about God. God's a Cliff Notes version kind of dude. You know? Come. Let's go. One of the most normal, often used words in Scripture. And Peter got out of the boat and he began to walk toward Jesus, and it was one of the greatest moments in human history. And you're like, what? One of the greatest moments in human history was when Peter got out of that boat and started walking towards Jesus. Why? Because for the first time since a garden in the very beginning, somebody had 100% focus and attention on God. Wow. Can you imagine? 100% focus and attention on God. Jesus says, come. I'm in. Where are we going? And then he sinks. You wait for the punchline, don't you? I'm just like, yeah, you just kind of wait for the punchline because, you know, our thing is, look, Brian, people don't walk on water. There's something called physics. People don't walk on water, Brian. That's the way that it works. It's logically impossible for somebody to walk on water. You should know better. This probably really isn't a miracle. In fact, it's some sort of fixation of his psyche or imagination or this kind of thing, because people don't walk on water. What is wrong with you? Why is it, brothers and sisters, that the boat is so often safer than the storm? Why is it impossible for God to do something miraculous, as Rena has shared with us this morning, of leading us through these storms in what seems to be very ordinary kinds of ways? It isn't as though Jesus uses this crazy word like, you know, in Aramaic or whatever, and Peter goes, oh man, I've been waiting for that my whole life. Jesus just says, come. Okay. From great faith to great failure in 1 minute, getting out of the boat is so hard, isn't it? Because the storm, that's what we know. We know wind, we know waves, we know rain, we know this boat is supposed to keep us safe, or at least we hope that it is, because who knows? Some guy might have been on an all-night bender who created the boat. He might have not put enough pitch on the outside, and you might sink anyway. Why's the boat the safe place? Never heard of all-night bender before?
Not me.
Okay. That was a rhetorical question, Vance. You know, people get so afraid in the middle of the storm, they think that the boat is safer than the storm. And people, the big reason is they're so afraid they're going to sink. If I get out and walk on that water, what's the first thing I'm going to do? I'm going to take one step right down, swimming with the fishies. But sinking is a good thing. Sinking is a good thing. People fear that they're going to sink, but let me tell you something. Sinking is a good thing. And you say, Brian, that is the dumbest thing you've said to date. Peter failed. How can that be good? He looked at the waves and the wind, and he took his eye off Jesus, and he failed. You're right. You're completely right. But you know what? He also got out of the boat, and everybody else stayed inside. He believed Jesus was greater than the storm. He asked Jesus, he said, command me to come. And when Jesus said, come, he got out of the boat. You know, I love it. Peter is painted as this reckless, erratic, impulsive person. And to some degree, he is. But what great faith! What would it be like for us if God said, you know what, in what looks like an impossible situation, here's what I want you to do, and it sounds even more impossible, do it. And we said, okay. Okay. It amazes me, brothers and sisters, that we celebrate our children these days with participation trophies. And yet we scold them when they don't make all A's. Learning how to lose is good. Learning how to fail is awesome. Hurts like hell, doesn't it? Oh my gosh, I hate failing. Anybody else? Fear of failure, anybody else? Yeah. Nobody likes to fail. I mean, isn't it like you wake up in the morning and go, what can I fail at today? This is going to be fabulous. But it's so important. If you don't know how to lose, if you don't know how to fail, what have you really attempted in life? If you don't know how to lose and fail, how are you going to know what winning feels like? Or what success feels like? You know, it's the old cliche, Thomas Edison, how many tries to make a light bulb? 10,000? He failed a lot. And yet this morning we'd be sitting in the dark if it weren't for old Tom. Sure, Peter sank, but he got out of the boat while others just watched. And that failure was precipitated by great faith. And while you're in the storm, brothers and sisters, that's what's going to happen. You are going to fail. You're going to get out of the boat and you're going to sink. And then you're going to get back in the boat. And then you're going to get back out of the boat and you're going to sink. And then you're going to get back in the boat. And it's going to happen over and over again. There are going to be failures and successes. But look what the step brought. It says, but when he saw the wind, he was afraid. In beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. What did Jesus do? Did he say, good luck, dude, you're on your own? No, Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. Now, a lot of people take this phrase right here, little faith, as a scolding. Right? When somebody fails, oh, you of little faith. It's not scolding at all. Jesus didn't say to him, you have no faith. When he went to Nazareth, he couldn't do any miracles there because the people wouldn't believe. And so Jesus said, a prophet is without honor in his hometown. Jesus didn't say to Peter, you have no faith. He said, you have little faith. And doesn't Jesus say if you have a little bit of faith, like the faith of a mustard seed, you can say to that mountain, be tossed into the heart of the sea, and it will? I would rather be a man of little faith than of no faith. Anybody with me? Because just a little bit of faith to get out of the boat, that storm's going to end one day. Might not be today, might not be tomorrow, might not be this year, but that storm is going to end one day, and God is going to be the one to lead you through it. In the storms, brothers and sisters, you are going to look for all kinds of places to escape because you fear failing and sinking. And let me encourage you, sinking is a good thing. You're going to vacillate between fear and failure and faith and no faith. Walk and fall. You're going to run and trip and end up with raspberries on your knees and elbows, and it's good. Others will say, do not ever leave the boat. Do it anyway. Because the third need we all have when the storm hits is commitment. Commitment. From community to clarity, to commitment. There is going to come a time in your storm when you hear from the community, when you hear from Christ, let's get out of the boat. And the question is, will you? When Christ says come, will you go? Lord, we've all walked through some storms. Maybe some of us right now are walking through a storm. Maybe there's a hurt. Maybe there's a habit. Maybe there's a way that we're trying to escape. Maybe we've been stuck there for a while. And God, we want to hand these storms to you today. I want to encourage you that if you have something to hand over this morning to Christ, you just put your hands out like this as if to give to him. Jesus, here we are bringing you whatever hurt, whatever struggle, whatever storm that we have. And Lord, we just pray that you would take them from us. God, we pray that you would lead us through and into a new future. And so, God, forgive us of our sins. Heal us of our hurts. Change us that we might become more like you. Fill us with just a little bit of faith to follow. Lord, help us get out of the boat this morning to come to you. Because we know even if we sink, we can cry out, Lord, save me. And that's where you meet us in our deepest need. We thank you that you died. We thank you that you rose again. And we place our faith and trust in you as Lord and Savior. We make our prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. And the people of God said, amen. Now, please have a seat. The movement is simple, from community to clarity to commitment. Community, you can't fight the storm. Clarity, that's the way you move beyond the darkness into the truth. And commitment, there comes a time in every storm where it's time to get out of the boat. And look, that commitment is hard. That's hard. I don't care what your storm is. It's hard. It's scary. And the deal is that I can't promise you this morning that commitment will guarantee that you'll end the storm quickly, you won't have setbacks, you won't fail, you won't be scared. You're going to fail plenty. You will be scared. You will have setbacks. It won't happen quickly. So who's in? Right? It's hard. It's hard, but without commitment, you stay stuck. You stay stuck. And I think the beautiful, beautiful piece that we can't miss is that when Peter is sinking, he cries out what they should have been crying out all night. Lord, save me. And that's exactly what Jesus does. That's exactly what Jesus does. Commitment in my storm started in about July. A lot of you have been asking, so do you have heart problems? I do not have heart problems. I have really bad GERD, gastroesophageal reflux disease. And it meant that I had to change my diet. I have to take these pills that sometimes you feel good and sometimes you don't. And I'll probably be on them the rest of my life and I might break my hip from it or end up with dementia. So I'm excited about that. You know, I had to go get ultrasound tests and have people touch me in places I didn't want to be touched. I had to get an endoscopy and have my esophagus stretched, which was a blast. My family loves that moment because evidently I came out of all the stuff that they give you and you're all looped up. And I told my wife over and over after I asked, did I have cancer? And no, I was so thankful. And I kept saying, I just love you. I love your hair. I love your eyes. I love your long tan legs. Over and over and over again. And now my kids repeat it at the dinner table. But that commitment day was an important day. It was a way forward. It's not all fixed now. I still get attacks. Some days it's still bad. But I've realized something about who I am. I've realized, boy, trying to control everything doesn't work. I've realized as your pastor, I can invite you into a journey. I can't make you or push you do anything. Because the commitment's up to you. It's your commitment, not mine. In late July and early August, I went on sabbatical as I usually do, and that time is a refreshing time for me. It's a lot of time with God, a lot of time alone, a lot of time with family, lots of exercise and activity. My idea of a break is if you have 7 days, 6 days, you go as hard as you can, and on the seventh, you crash. That was God's original plan. That's why you get Sabbath, right? And my prayer during that time, during July and August, was simple. I wanted to be committed to God that whatever was next, I was open to. If it meant it was time for a change, I would do it. If it meant moving to Alaska, I would do it. Whatever it was, I was in. I was in. And I didn't get any answers. And it was funny, the Sunday morning I came back to be here with you, I think it was about August 13th or so, I had no answers, and I'm kind of listening to the radio. Usually I listen to a Christian station on the way in, kind of gets me in the mood, and for whatever reason I picked something different, and that song, Glorious, that we have in the intro, came on. And man, I just got lit up. You know, and it was very simple. It was, Brian, you're going to move forward through this, and you're going to stay where you're at, and you're going to bloom where you're planted, and you're not going to run, and you're not in control. I am. And I'm still trying to figure all that out. I don't have it down, to be honest. I still don't know why all this has happened. I still don't know when it's all going to be over, but it doesn't really matter. I think out of all of it, I came to realize God really does lead us. And in the end, that's what is most glorious. And what we can do is share our experiences with other people, and maybe that will help them in the midst of their storm. And that's what next week will be all about. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that you come to us, you save us, you call us out of the boat. And God, that's a little scary. But we're glad that you never give up on us. We're thankful that you keep saying to us, come. And so we pray as we have already prayed this morning, oh God, pour out your Spirit upon us. Change us and heal us and save us. Call us out of the boat and use us as instruments of your healing and grace to others. Feed us in this meal, we pray, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A special thanks to all who came out for the chili bowl last night. The bowl decided had a night off, but the chili was great, as was the fellowship. I don't know if you realize this morning or not, we started reading a little bit different scripture translation than we did the past couple weeks of this passage. The staff and I, we've been talking, we're going to change to the English Standard Version of the Bible. I think it reads better. I think it gets closer to the meaning of the text. We had been using the New International Version, and they've slowly made some changes to it that I disagree with. I'm not going to really highlight all those here this morning because we'd be here a while. But we are going to change to the ESV, and John Smithson, who owns the Christian Book Nook, and he is part of our community, has brought some books that are for purchase, some Bibles, English Standard Version Bibles, out in the front lobby. If you're interested in purchasing one, we would love to hook you up for that. And I want to encourage you to visit John at his store down on Preston sometime. It's a great place. He's got tons of stuff there, and Sooner Goss Coffee is not far away, as is the bakery. So you'll want to make a good little morning out of that for yourself. But encourage you to check those out. Hey, I'm looking forward to wrapping this series up with you next week. I hope you have a great week. Stay committed. It's great to have just a little bit of faith. That's all you need. Be the revolution.